And a very happy Thursday morning, as they say in Dublin. Thursday morning, December 15th, 2022. It's the Best at Sea Cruise and Travel News Update podcast, brought to you by The Snood Factory, www.thesnoodfactory.com, your home for Made in USA clothing to keep your pooches and your puppies warm. Tom Drake, we have just arrived in Dominica, and that's how it's pronounced, not Dominica. Dominica. I wasn't sure, actually. I looked it up. It was a different YouTube page, but it was another person saying, it's Dominica. Dominica. And it actually means Lord's Sunday. The Lord's Sunday, because Columbus arrived here on a Sunday and decided to name it Dominica. But not Dominica. Dominica, because it was on a Sunday. So there you go. Now you have so much information, you can just stop listening. It is an island of rain and waterfalls. It's very rainy here. There's a rainforest that everybody goes to. There are waterfalls. There are people that go tubing and rafting here. It is not a very attractive arrival here. It'll never be on the cover of Travel and Leisure. It is one of the poorest islands in the Caribbean because it's all about agriculture. And the hurricanes come through here too many times. And bad weather, and they've tried to go more touristy. That's what we're doing here today. We'll see how it works out for them. There are nice people. I've been here several times. I will tell you, the flight into Dominica is one of the scariest you'll ever do in aviation history. You don't even see the runway until you get down into the jungle, and then there it is. And like, man, am I glad I made it. So I have to tell you, though, before I get to what's going on in the industry today, yesterday was a very good day in Guadeloupe. Not Guadalupe, Guadalupe, now you know, and I owe him a little bit of an apology. When you arrive in Guadalupe, there's barbed wire on top of the fences in the pier. It is not a place that looks very inviting. But it turned out yesterday the Enchanted Princess was alongside us in Guadalupe, not Guadalupe, now you know. And a good friend of ours, my wife and I, Max Docelli, a great comedian, was on board the Enchanted Princess, reached out and said, do you want to get together? So we did. We met Max and another wonderful magician, Matt Stanley, and we wandered into the little town of Port de Pere, whatever it's called, and found a little spot and had a couple of Heinekens. And that was, we were having a good morning. It was actually a good time. But I will tell you a story. This is unrelated to travel. This does have, well, a little bit. When you travel, women must have their cosmetics because they can't get their cosmetics anywhere else. They must have their cosmetics. And if you don't know, I'm married three times, so I put up with it. And my wife only uses one particular hairspray. It's called Salon Graphics. It's number 5. It's got a red stamp on it. Believe me, I know. I looked all over Miami for this hairspray. I could not find it anywhere. We had arranged to have it shipped to an entertainer's house, and she would be bringing it next week on the cruise, so my wife would have her hairspray because she went through too much of it, I guess. And I thought this was all ridiculous. And last night I was at the bar, which happens, and I was chastised by a fellow female who said, you men don't get it. We have to have our cosmetics. Yesterday, we leave this little place, an ice cream store that was selling Heineken for €2. I mean, you talk about robbing the beer. That was good. And we step into a cosmetic store to buy shampoo, and what do we find but 2 cans of Salon Graphics number 5 with the red stamp on it for €8 a piece. They are $17 if you find them in the store in Miami, $8 a piece. And my wife is on cloud 9 because she... Now, the men listening to the podcast are going, don't waste my time with this. The women are going, he's right. He understands it. Finally, a man understands a woman must have her cosmetics. So a good day in Guadalupe, not Guadalupe. Now you know. And today, probably not going ashore. I can see Dominique from here. I've been to the rainforest. I've been to the waterfalls. And how many times do you need to get wet? Let's get to the update. Once again, thanks for anybody that is subscribing. You can find this pretty easy now. You can just go to bestatsearadio.com, and it's up there every day, usually by 10 a.m. Podcast is done and uploaded and ready to go. Let's get to it. You're rambling a little, Tommy. I do that sometimes. It is the 20th anniversary of Holland America's Zuiderdam. And this means something to me because I was on that ship when it first came out. And I worked for Holland America for a long time. And I said at the time when they brought out Zuiderdam, you're making a big mistake, people. This is a bad idea. And I will tell you that many of the guests that used to sail Holland America because of the size of the ship now sail Oceania because they don't want 2,000 passengers. Now they're even bigger. But the Zuiderdam came out. And they used to have these beautiful little ships. The Veendam, the Stottendam, the Rhinedam, the Mazdam, 1,000 passengers, the beautiful inside, and just pure luxury. And they went with the 2,000 passenger Zuiderdam. It's now 20 years old. And I have a great story about this because I'm on the Zuiderdam, and I used to do a joke in my act back then, and 20 years ago, Holland America was very much a conservative audience, meaning Republican. And I would... And it wasn't inexpensive. It was expensive on Holland America. You paid, you get what you pay for. And I'm on stage. I always did a joke, a political joke. And if it got a lot of boos, I knew we had a lot of Democrats on board. And I said, how cheap is this cruise that we have Democrats? You know, normally, you know, they're rolling quarters, taking a 3-day on Carnival, because Carnival is and was the price-conscious cruise line. Well, Mickey Aronson is sailing on the Zuiderdam when I'm there, and the cruise director said, don't do that joke. I did the joke. I did it in the Welcome Award Show. And the next night, I'm playing blackjack in the casino, and I'm sitting at first base in the casino, and there's a guy's at third base, and he's been drinking. If you don't know how it works in blackjack, the seats kind of numbered, you know. One is on the opposite of the three. And he looks at me and goes, hey, were you the comedian last night? And I said, yes, sir. He goes, oh, this is your job? You told a few jokes and now you play blackjack? And I said, yeah, that's pretty much how it works. And I look over this guy's shoulder and Mickey Aronson is standing there looking at me. And I proceeded to say, plus, sir, I do a late night show. I do another full show. I do a comedy workshop. I'm breaking my butt for this cruise line. And Mickey Aronson, my mother, just looks at me, waves and says, oh, get out of here, and walks away. Coolest thing that ever happened to me. He was at my show, obviously recognized me, didn't care about the joke. He spent 3 days on board, went around, took notes, and a lot of changes were made. He couldn't have been more pleasant. He was friendly to the staff and to the crew. I mean, I didn't sit and have a drink with him. But point being, for a big boss with a lot of money, he was a pretty cool guy having on board. Anyway, the Zuiderdam is now 20 years old. After the Zuiderdam, they built the sister ships, the Noordam and the Westerdam, and the Westerdam and the Noordam, and the Oosterdam. And those are all, now the new ones now are all bigger than that. But all right. I saw this on ctrade.com. Here we go with sustainability again. It's all about sustainability. If you're new to this podcast, you will hear that word a lot, because the cruise lines have all gotten together and agreed that by 2050, the industry will have net zero emissions. We're not going to tear up the environment anymore. That's what they think anyway. And Royal Caribbean Group, and why that means Royal Caribbean Group is Royal Caribbean, Celebrity, Silver Sea, TUI, a bunch of people. They signed a maritime declaration with Finland, and they are on the way to building a climate neutral ship at Meyer Turku. Now, there's no information about how they're going to do it yet. They just got together. People in the cruise industry, they like to sign declarations and things like that. So they agreed with the country of Finland, because they're in this. They've been with Royal Caribbean in financing for a while now. Anyway, according to Jason Liberty, and I will now quote, our partners in Finland have helped us deliver some of the world's most impressive and sustainable ships of their time, including our newest ship, debuting in January of 2024, the Icon of the Seas. Backstory to this, there was a point where they had a ship in Finland, they couldn't afford to get it finished, and the Finnish government stepped up with the money, because that's a lot of business, and that's a lot of jobs for Finland in Helsinki and outside of Helsinki. Anyway, going forward, I'll talk more about this, but the goal is to they want to build a net zero cruise ship by 2025. And I'm not a scientist. It involves liquid natural gas, or maybe using ethanol and all kinds of other ways to clean it up before it goes into the environment, decarbonization, and all, there's all kinds of crazy stuff going on. And I am making a commitment that I will actually begin to study this now, so I don't just glance over it and make fun of it, because I think, you know, look what goes on in India and China, and don't worry about the cruise industry so much. If you spend any time in those countries and you saw the level of smog or the garbage and how the waters are being destroyed, it'd be different. But I'm off the track here. Anyways, net zero cruise ship by 2035, a combination of Royal Caribbean Group and the country of Finland and the shipyard of Meyer Turku. And if you've ever had your Turku mired, it could be very painful. I didn't know whether to cover this story, because you know what? I don't want to have negative. I mean, I'm negative, but another person fell off another cruise ship. This is so sad. I don't get this. I've been doing this for 28, almost 29 years. Only once did someone, and they fell off a tender. They didn't fall off the ship. Never had an overboard in all the years I've been out here. A lot of cruises. But in Australia, a 23-year-old woman was on the Pacific Explorer. That's a P&O ship. And went overboard. There's no explanation of why she went overboard, but she lost her life, obviously, when she went overboard. They launched the planes and the helicopters, and they were able to find her the next morning. But look, be careful when you're out there. I mean, look, if this is the way you want to go, and nobody can stop it. I mean, what can you do? There are hundreds of cameras on cruise ships now to look at everything to find out why this happens. But there's really no way to stop it from happening. I suppose you ban alcohol, but that's never going to happen. How about being responsible? And if that's the way you want to leave the earth, I just feel bad for the cruise industry, because believe me, this is being covered on every major media publication around the world. Never do you read a story about, 3,000 people went on a cruise and had the greatest time of their life. All you ever read is somebody went overboard or somebody punched somebody else. You're never going to read anything positive about the cruise industry. That's been going on since I started a long, long time ago. Celebrity cruises. This is an interesting story. This was in Cruise Industry News and in Travel Weekly. Got a lot of play. They have developed something called the Wonderverse, and it is a virtual game visit thing. I try to get into it today, but the internet's not fast enough. You sign up. It's a great way for them to get your email address and your phone number, because you have to give them that in order to go into their Wonderverse. And you can virtually go into the Wonderverse, and you can look at their celebrity beyond, and the ship beyond that, and the ship beyond that. And you can meet Lisa Ludolf Perlo, she is the boss over there, and of course Captain Kate McHugh, the poster child of celebrity, the female captain with the ugliest cat you've ever seen in your life. This was built by a company called Surreal Events, and I got a feeling that what they paid for it was probably surreal. And the thinking behind this is, this will encourage you to book a cruise on celebrity. I don't know how many cruises. I mean, I think it'll be a lot of fun for people that have nothing to do when it's winter. It's winter in New York and you're freezing your butt off, and you go on to the Wonderverse and you look at the beaches and the ship and you go, wow, maybe it sells a cruise, maybe it doesn't. It seems to be a reach for me, but I am going to try it once I have sufficient internet capability. But you can visit places. You can visit Alaska. Why would you visit Alaska if you live in Buffalo? Not at the moment, anyway. St. Lucia, Santorini, all these places, and it's all done virtually by surreal artists. And I don't know. As I've said before, I'm going to comment when I deliver the news here. I'm going to comment one way or the other. I'll look at it because of this podcast, but beyond that, I probably wouldn't spend 2 minutes. It's also, I think, very good for travel agents, travel planners, because they can go in there and get excited. So when they're talking to maybe it does work. If you're talking to your customer and the customer's thinking about taking a Mediterranean cruise, and you say, you know what, go into the Wonderverse and take a look at Santorini, and when you're done, I'll give you the best price on whatever cruise line you want to go on. That's probably what's going to happen. You're like, I'm not going to pay for Celebrity, but I'll take the Royal Caribbean cruise because I want to go to Santorini. And thank you very much, Celebrity, for showing me how beautiful it is. Has anybody out there watched the HBO TV show The White Lotus? I know nothing about this, but it got a big play today on Travel Weekly because the second season of The White Lotus is filmed. It was filmed in Sicily. And, Sicily is a wonderful, wonderful place to visit, very much like Naples, Italy, which is known for its pizza and pickpockets. When you're in Sicily, you gotta be careful, let's put it there. But everybody goes to Taormina, because that's where they filmed The Godfather. I've been with guests in Taormina when they're not going to the 300,000-year-old church. They're going to the cafe where Michael Corleone sat when he found out his wife was blown up. And I go, that's just that's fake movie stuff. Yeah, but that's where Michael was. Well, people watching The White Lotus, very much like when the Titanic came out. When the Titanic came out, everybody wanted to sail on the SS Norway. They wanted to revisit that great time of cruising. They're saying now that Google searches for Sicily and bookings for this hotel have gone up dramatically because people watched The White Lotus and they suddenly wanted to go to Sicily. I didn't know what The White Lotus was. It is a TV show about a resort called The White Lotus. And it's an interesting show because the manager of the resort Armand is a recovering drug addict who's been sober for 5 years. There's another character named Tanya. She's a troubled woman whose mother recently died who seeks inner peace and discovery. There's another one named Rachel. Her character is Rachel. She's a newlywed, struggling journalist who does clickbait gigs. This sounds like, I can't wait to watch this. There's another character named Quinn Mosbacher, and he is the socially awkward, screen-addicted teenage son. Oh my God. This has every stereotype known to man, and I guess it's a hit show. It won 10 Emmys or something like that. But I find this part interesting. Because they watched the show based in Sicily, they want to go to Sicily. Because a few years ago, I wrote a TV show called Best at Sea. And it was a story of five entertainers on a cruise ship who were hired to stage a talent competition on board the ship. And the idea of this show was to show off the ship quietly, subliminally. So is that the right word? In other words, you'd see us sitting around a table having lunch and go, that ship looks great. Well, that's what happened here. Everybody saw this resort in Sicily, and now they suddenly want to visit Sicily. Hopefully not the whack jobs that I'm reading about here. There's another character named Paula, and she is a less privileged but equally caustic mixed race friend. Oh my goodness. Whoever wrote this, I don't know who wrote it, but he sat down and he must have, everybody he ever met in his life who he hated, who he couldn't stand, that's who he put in this show. I bet he has friends or enemies back home where he grew up going, hey, that's me. Hey, that's me. Because that's the best way to write things, to be honest. I don't know if this was ever a good podcast today. I'll be very blunt with you and tell you there wasn't a whole lot going on. By the way, the hotel that they filmed The White Lotus at was the Four Seasons San Domenico Palace Hotel that normally closes for the season in November. And now they're kicking around next year staying open because everybody wants to go to the Four Seasons San Domenico Palace Hotel, which in the TV show was known as the White Lotus Resort and Spa. It's amazing what people will do based on what they saw and what they listen to, like this trick. All right, well, a good Thursday. As I said, not a lot of great stories today, but it's a good story about Mickey Aronson, good story about hairspray. Not so much about other things. You learned that Dominica means the Lord's Sunday, so you can go to sleep now knowing you picked up a couple of tidbits there and there. All right, you're rambling. Have a good Thursday. Talk to you tomorrow. I don't even know where we are, but you'll find out when I talk to you tomorrow.